Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering.
Hey, Reddit Food. This is Oliver Babish. I am a filmmaker, wannabe chef, and like you, I've always wondered, what does the food in film and television actually taste like? I'm here to answer some of those questions today. Today, we're making Chris Traeger's...
This is a clip from the popular YouTube channel Binging with Babish. It's created by filmmaker and home cook Andrew Ray, where he brings to life the food that appears in popular movies and television shows, like Krabby Patties from SpongeBob or Pigeon Pie from the Game of Thrones. Binging with Babish now has more than 5.45 million subscribers and over 240 videos. They're awesome. I've watched some of them.
Thank you so much.
Yep. And a cookbook, Binging with Babish, 100 recipes created from your favorite movies and TV shows. In Studio 3 with me now, Andrew Ray. Hello.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, we're streaming live on Facebook because we know you're wondering what Andrew looks like. You can find us on the Radio Boston Facebook page. All right, so I have to get my geek on for just a second. Babish is a reference to Oliver Babish. You said that up front.
Absolutely.
My all-time favorite West Wing character.
Really?
Yes. How did you wind up naming yourself after Oliver Babish?
I thought it was funny. I named my Reddit username, my Reddit handle, Oliver Babish, because I thought it was funny. And then I named the show Binging with Babish because I didn't know what else to call it, and I didn't expect it to go anywhere. And now here we are.
Yeah, so. He was a completely unlikable lawyer.
I liked him.
I loved him, as you know.
He has one of the best lines in the whole show. He was like, Mrs. Bartlett, in my entire life, I've never found anything charming. And it's like the meanest and most like, it was so cool. And I actually have a tattoo right here. This is his, as he called it, the gavel given to his grandfather by Justice Brandeis, I think it was.
Yes.
Everybody called it his big hammer.
That's
and now
awesome.
I have a tattoo of it.
Awesome. All right. So we should back up, though, and you should tell us about your first experiences in the kitchen, because you cook now. So tell us about that.
My earliest experiences in the kitchen, my mother taught me to cook when I was very young, things like Nestle Toll House cookies and some soups and simple things. She passed away when I was 11, so it was a very nice way to, feel closer to her and remember her through cooking. Sometimes you can leave a very important legacy in that way when you you cook for others. So
you talk in the introduction of this book about trying some pretty ambitious stuff without really the chops to pull it off. And at some point, you kind of became more self-aware and said, hey, how about I just make stuff that tastes good?
Yeah, exactly. I think that that's a pitfall that a lot of newcomers to the kitchen are victim to, is thinking, I should try and make the most impressive dishes, these really experimental and beautiful things, when in fact the thing that I'm consistently most impressed by and enjoy the most, and I think everybody else would agree with me, is that when you go to a friend's house for dinner and they make the best damn burger you've ever had in your life, instead of, a conceptually frustrating 12-course tasting menu, I'd much rather have the former. And it took me a long time to learn that. And I was trying to cook well above my pay grade, as I call it, for a long time. And I try to encourage people to really just master the basics. That's really what, yeah.
Now, once you went back to the basics, did you find over time, though, now you could cook the fancy pants 12-course if you wanted to? Have you developed those more complex skills?
Yeah, with mastering the basics, it comes an understanding of why food behaves the way it does. And, once you understand, if I apply heat to this, high heat, it's going to act this way. As soon as you grab those, you grasp those absolute basics of food behavior, then you can start diving into those more complex things, which would probably overwhelm you if it were your first time, or it just wouldn't come out correctly. Some people can do it, and good for them.
God love
but
them.
Most of us, I think you should really just try to make the best grilled cheese you've ever had. Make the best pasta you've ever had. Get that out of the way first and make that for your friends. They'll thank you for it.
Okay, so we have two dishes in front of you. One of them is not the best pasta
you've
ever had, and we will come back to that one in a minute.
Some weird smells in here.
But the other one is the Traeger Turkey Burger, which was the accidental genesis for your cooking career on YouTube. And the name hints at it, but it was inspired by a character on Parks and Rec, Chris Traeger, the health nut. He's marathon runner, overly sort of positive boss character played by Rob Lowe.
Mm-hmm. I humbly place before you my East Meets West patented Traeger Turkey Burger, an Asian fusion burger made with Willow Farms organic turkey, a toasted Taleggio cheese crisp, papaya chutney, black truffle aioli, and microgreens on a gluten-free brioche bun. Enjoy.
Mmm. This tastes as delicious as Beyonce smells. Mmm. I'm guessing.
What is this in here? Saffron?
Wow, somebody's got a sharp palate.
So I don't even like him just listening to that. But the burger, so take us back. You're watching this on TV. You're in your kitchen. What happens?
Well, I'm a big background watcher. I put on things that I enjoy. I'm a huge rewatcher, too. I had seen that episode like 5 times, as long with every other episode of Parks, because it's one of my favorite shows. So I put it on like it's music. I think of TV shows in particular. I would never watch one just once. You know, I'd never listen to a song just once. So I put it on in the background, and I was setting up a camera in my kitchen because I wanted to try to get into food photography. And that scene came on. I was like, huh, what would that burger actually taste like? And I was like, I should probably make that. Which was a challenge.
It's actually pretty complicated.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, I tried to do everything from scratch. I figured that's what Chris would do. He's a very healthy guy, so, you know, most of the ingredients here make sense. The only thing that didn't really make sense was Taleggio cheese crisp, because Taleggio is very soft cheese. I don't really think you could make a crisp out of it. I might be wrong, but I went with Parmesan instead, just because it's something that crisps up really nicely. You guys did a great job. These look great.
Well, so Zoe, one of our producers, actually made this burger. She wasn't able to find the microgreens, which I understand neither could you when you first tried to do this. Is that right? You struggled to find them?
It was hard to find them, but I did eventually find them. The hardest thing to find was the gluten-free brioche bun.
I don't think these are gluten-free buns. Zoe says no, they're not.
I'm sorry. This won't do.
No,
I'm kidding. No, it's great. It looks beautiful.
Let's try it. Let's both try
Absolutely.
It. We'll both have a bite.
Here, I'll grab a half here. Right. Oh, they're warm, too. How'd you do this?
Well, Zoe's a master. That's how we did it.
I'm going to get crumbs everywhere.
Zoe.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's all good.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of papaya chutney on this. Oh.
That's really
that's
good.
Yeah.
Silence on the radio while we both chew.
Do you normally do radio with full mouths?
No, but I drink on the radio when I can,
oh,
so I figure
fun.
Why not eat too?
Can we now, do that? No? Okay.
This is delicious, and I have a bone to pick with you because you totally diss turkey burgers when you talk about this burger. This is really good, and I like turkey burgers.
It is very good. I was very surprised by how good it is, but it is not as good as a beef burger. It's just not possible for a turkey burger to outpace
a beef burger. That is a pretty sweeping statement to make, that there is no turkey burger in the world that can be as good as
Let's face this. This is good. Let's face it. This is good because it's dressed up. The beef burger on its own tastes good.
Yeah, I have to admit it's all the extra stuff on here. The
exactly.
Blacks,
yeah.
Truffle aioli.
I'm actually, I have another bite.
Yeah, go for it. You work on that, and I'll frame up another question for you and give you a second to chew. Because swear to God, this is really good. Like, I'm going to eat the rest of this for dinner when the show is over. Okay. Now, one of the things that's really striking about the book is, I know I took the plate. People can see this. And I took the plate and I left him with no plate to put his burger
on.
That's fine.
Only one of us could end up with it.
Sorry about that. You know, you get into the front of this book. This is a very personal cookbook. I don't expect to learn about somebody's life journey, their struggle with depression, their divorce, even a description of all their tattoos and where they come from. Why did you want to include this kind of intimacy in this book?
Well, the show is a very... it's an extension of myself. It's the way that I've found to express myself, and it's become my creative outlet, and it was the thing that pulled me out of depression. And it's part of its story and its history. I wanted to share that because a lot of people who have watched the show, from what I've read on Instagram, what I've read on Reddit and in the comments, they've, you know, taken up cooking sometimes because they've watched the show and they're like, oh, I think I want to try that. And they found a new hobby, or they've made something for their spouse or whatever, or something lovely. And sometimes they're going through ruts too. And I want people to know that I was in a really dark, terrible place when I came up with the show and when I started making the show. And it can get better. You can pull yourself out of this situation. You have to help yourself, and you need to, you know, take a risk on yourself and try to find something that I call it the flow. I don't call it the flow state, but, you know, puts you in the flow state, the where everything else melts away and all that exists is what you're focusing on. I'm going down a tangent here, but
that's all right. I asked.
The point is that you know, this show is born of darkness in some ways. And I just want to show, in the same way that I show my mistakes on the show, when I screw something up for a dish, I always show it.
Yeah, one time when you were making these, I think it was on like Vice, forgot to put the eggplant in.
Yeah, and I insisted that they leave that in because I
wondered about that.
Yeah, no, I wanted them to leave that in because I like to show my mistakes because mistakes can be learning opportunities. And same thing with life. That's why I included the personal mistakes that I've made in the past and how I've tried to turn those into opportunities.
So when did you know that you were kind of on fire with this? That you were, I mean, it couldn't have been from the first YouTube video. When did you really know you were doing something that was so special to other people?
The channel's first windfall was when I did the Moist Maker from Friends. It's a Thanksgiving leftover sandwich with a slice of gravy-soaked bread in the center, which is a brilliant innovation. And it was the first one to sort of get picked up by Reddit. It climbed Reddit videos, which is kind of a barometer for how popular something will become on the internet in some ways. It was picked up by Entertainment Weekly and whatever. And that's when I knew, okay, I have something that people want to see here. It's just about getting it in front of the right eyes. And I committed to making an episode every week, and I haven't missed a week since. I did miss one week because I had the flu last year. But
I think that's acceptable. All right. But not every dish you make is something people want to eat or want to see.
Nope.
So let's talk about Elf spaghetti.
Oh,
okay. There are a few recipes. They're a little more fun. There is one from the Christmas movie Elf.
Yeah, that's probably the worst recipe that I left in the book. I left out some of the really repugnant ones, like Charlie's milk steak from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is a steak boiled in milk topped with jelly beans. You don't need a recipe for that. But if for some reason you want to make this, I wanted to at least include it. It's a standalone episode. It's a popular episode. And what it is pasta that's been covered with gas station sweets.
Ew.
You got M&M's, you got chocolate chips. You got crumbled up Pop-Tarts, you got chocolate syrup, maple syrup.
And there is a photo of this concoction on our website, listeners, so you can picture it if you're not watching on Facebook. All right,
yeah.
So let's do this. We got to eat it.
I
boiled the pasta last night, did not use your fabulous suggestions of butter and olive oil in the pan afterward, which now I'm kicking myself for.
I don't think it's going to improve this, honestly.
But while you and I chew, let's listen to Buddy talk about this pasta. And really,
sounds
you
good.
First.
Okay, thank you.
Can you pass the maple syrup, please?
I didn't put it. It's spaghetti.
You know what? I think I have something.
You like sugar, huh?
Is there sugar in syrup?
Yes.
Then yes!
Okay, he did it. I have to say, with a big wad of chocolate chips right through, and there's tomato sauce on this pasta. I'm going for the M&Ms and the pasta and the chocolate, and I'm killing time for Andrew so he can finish chewing. Now, while I eat this monstrosity, say something about it.
Well, let's talk about the notes that we're picking up here. No, I mean, the bite that I just had, I think, was primarily chocolate chips, so I got off easy. But that amount of sugar, and cheap sugar, too, it's like, cheap sweets, does not work with a spongy kind of texture of that pasta has. If you got any tomato sauce there, it definitely doesn't work with that. So I also regret that this is one of the few recipes that I didn't try to
improve.
and try to make a good version of. That's what I try to do with any bad recipe. I try to make the Babish version, which is like something halfway edible at least. And I didn't do it with this one. And I'm hoping to revisit it again soon so I can do that. What do you think of it?
Well, okay, so here's the truth. When you first just get hit with the chocolate, we're all good. It's just melty chocolate.
To be sure.
And then all of a sudden your taste buds are like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And when you get to that point, it just all,
The texture and flavor doesn't make sense. It's like it's like eating an orange and it tastes like an apple or something. It just
No, that's much better than how this tastes.
No, that would actually be cool. Never mind. Bad example.
All right, we have about a half a minute left. So what is next for you?
Well, I'm on tour right now. I'm here in Boston tonight at the Wilbur Theater. You can come check it out. It's going to be a Q&A. It's going to be a lovely book signing.
We have information on tickets on radioboston.org.
Very cool. Thank you. And bigger picture stuff, I'm going to be working on opening a brew pub in Brooklyn where you can come watch me make the show. You can have a beer. You can expect that to hopefully be open mid-2020. That's the hope.
I hope we'll hear from you while you open that place. That'd be great to have you back.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's Andrew Ray. He's a filmmaker and chef behind the popular YouTube cooking channel Binging with Babish. He has a new cookbook out and will, as he said, be appearing at the Wilbur tonight.
Thanks so much for having me.
That is our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Zoe Mitchell, who is also a fabulous cook, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, Jamie Bologna, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tisiana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.